tissue has been precious. Mouloud.
Ben voilà, merci pour cette immense contribution à vous tous, et tout, surtout pour les dernières années, je n'étais pas à vos côtés, mais on va continuer dans cette idée de podcast, qui est l'idée d'avenir, je crois, qui permet de rejoindre tout le monde. Voilà, donc ce n'est qu'une transformation, ce n'est pas une mort.
Non.
Ce n'est qu'un au revoir.
C'est ça.
C'est ça. Oh, there we are. There's Stella.
Are you ready for the sound experience of a lifetime? Are you ready for crystal clarity in sonic bliss? Are you ready for CKUT? We're ready for you. 90.3 on your FM dial.
January 8th, 2024, and you're listening to What's Up With Work Lately. I'm Charlie, and I'm here with my co-workers, Miriam and Emil. Hi, Miriam. Hi, Emil.
Hello.
Welcome back. Hope you all had a great holiday.
I hope you had a great holiday. I hope everybody who's listening had good holidays, time off, resting, you know, kind of wrapping our head around what's going on in the world right now and how we're all going to survive 2024. Hopefully so. We have
happy
a great
year.
Yeah, happy new year. We have a great lineup coming up with our Toronto team that we will be interviewing very soon. So you guys will get to hear some fun facts and meet the great team that we have in Toronto for Youthful Cities.
I'm so looking forward. Yeah, we're going to be joined by 3 interviewees. So the entire city team is interviewing the entire city team. And that is going to be interesting in terms of dynamic. We have exactly 6 mics in the studio. Not that we're using them. Have we all been to Toronto? 3 of us?
I think, I mean, not together.
Well, we're going to be.
I mean, we went to Buckhorn. What? Buckhorn for the retreat back in September?
Yes, we made it just before because we stopped at Oshawa, so the station right before, and Emil even a station before that.
Yes.
Yeah, funny story.
Was it?
I actually been to Toronto quite a bit, especially back in the day when I was an athlete. I had a lot of competitions there because I used to hold a few international trial events that I would go to. And then also I have some cousins living there too, so I went there for a wedding last year.
That's very nice. But no, I guess we will all have to go to Toronto together.
There's more city pride, I would say, in Toronto than I've noticed across the other 4 city teams. Maybe that's not true.
Good evening, everyone. We got a special treat. We got the whole Toronto City staff with us. We got Renee, Kapisha, and the city manager, Oki. How's everyone doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
We're doing great, yeah.
That's great to hear. Hope y'all had a great weekend. So first thing I would want to know is, so from what I've heard, Toronto is known for its diverse demographic with a variety of cultures having a strong presence in the city. What type of influence does this diversity have on the youth culture of Toronto?
I would say that it's like common blend. It is a common blend to see like cultural expressions in Toronto, like music, fashion, social activities. I think that's why the city's diverse population contributes to a dynamic youth scene in a way. Individuals can draw inspiration from their own culture, their roots, while also engaging and appreciating other cultures as well. And then I also believe that that kind of ties together with the socioeconomic landscape of things. Even looking at Youthful Cities Urban Work Index that we did in 2023, that ranked the top 30 cities in Canada, Toronto ranked number one in entrepreneur spirit. And that's to do with the diversity contributing to the economic landscape, the economic resilience that we have, and innovation. So that's it's really different. I think Toronto is really unique and has a different cultural groups that brings their entrepreneur spirit together and business ventures to the city as well. So.
Okay, that's a very elongated answer. Thank you, Oki. I'm gonna have to like replay that so that I can catch everything for my little slower brain. Renee, do you have anything to say on what Oki said?
I would say that the impact seems almost pretty immediate. I feel like anything that you see in pop culture, like the next week there'll be like a restaurant or like an event or like a new like song that's coming out or like a new clothing store in Toronto. Like it's very easy to just walk down the street and like see that influence happening and involve yourself in it. I think what's nice about Toronto is that like it's almost too easy to become part of things and to experience other people's cultures and like really immerse yourself in that diversity. So I think that's like a pretty awesome way to engage with it.
Sounds like there's never a dull moment in Toronto. That's what I love to hear.
yeah, for sure.
Also, like on that note, I'm interested in what are Toronto's strengths that would attract the diverse demographic in the first place.
I can start. I think generally there's just a variety in the opportunities that are available, and so like obviously there are evident barriers, but I think that Toronto just manages to maintain like several niches for everyone to like work within or outside of their ideal situations. So it's like, it's a city that's pretty easy to get comfortable in, but it's also a city that like has that range of opportunity. Like I've grown up in Toronto my entire life. And I think at every stage of like, I don't know, even just like income or interest or education, like there's always a space for me to excel in. Even though like there are other spaces that like feel unattainable, like I know that even if I did or didn't want it, like at some point I could work to get to like the space that I want to.
That's actually interesting. I mean, you mentioned that you grew up in Toronto, and we were actually talking a bit earlier, Emil, Miriam, and I, about how the three of you guys come from different areas of Toronto and that of how like every section of Toronto is so particular and different. Correct me if I'm completely wrong, I've never lived in Toronto. That's just from like visiting like a tourist. But do you think that y'all have like completely different experiences of living in that city that is so big yet so diverse and different coming from different areas, or am I completely off?
Yeah, no, it's possible. Like, I'll let Oki and Katisha speak for themselves, but, like, I grew up kind of, like, just outside of the downtown core, and so, like, I have kind of, like, a suburban Toronto experience based off of, like, my residency, but at the same time, like, my school was downtown, and, like, everyone hangs out downtown, so, like, even just having, like, two of those spaces to exist in might be different from, like, the two spaces that Oki existed in, or Katisha. So I think, like, there definitely is a diversity in like regionally, but again, like there's nothing stopping you from like experiencing those regions.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because for myself, I grew up in like the Etobicoke area, which is like less of like less crazy than the downtown core. I think my experience being living there could be different from someone who grew up closer to where like it's more busier and there's a busier city. So that kind of made me want to, I guess, be like in, I was more interested to know what's going on in more of like the downtown core. So my brain was more like intrigued in a sense. But then even just piggybacking on Renee's point on like opportunity, I believe like no matter where you kind of grow up in the city of Toronto, no matter what area, there is like an intensive amount of opportunity for people, especially with the amount of education that is available. And just kind of like the, there's a lot of, I would just say there's a lot of, but in a sense, there's a lot of, you could say good jobs in a way for a lot of people. However, I think it's just really competitive for Toronto. And how to navigate through a big city is kind of challenging for youth in a way. So, but from my experience, I definitely would agree to that point.
Yeah, I would agree as well, actually. I mean, I grew up in more so like the North York area of Toronto. And so like my experience was also pretty suburban in comparison to like the downtown core. But I would definitely say that like, even like living in a different neighborhood has a different experience, just because you're also like Toronto sometimes does have like areas where certain like cultures or like certain races of people make up the neighborhood a bit more, and so like you do get a bit of a more immersed cultural experience there. And I kind of feel like that did have an impact on like some of my experiences as well, like in the city. But one thing I can say that's really cool is that even though there are a little bit of divisions regionally, all of that kind of comes together and you still kind of feel like you're a part of like the big city. And so like some people would still have like those cross connections based off of like the different areas they're from. And it still brings the entire perspective of Toronto together. So like, even though you do come from like a different area of the city, you still kind of feel like you're a part of it holistically. So I think that's like something really cool that is a part of the city's dynamic as well.
That's nice to hear how you almost describe how each city as a close-knit family in a way.
Yeah, it makes me a little jealous, you know. I'm like, maybe I should reconsider where I'm living.
Yes. The next thing I'm interested in is, how do social and environmental issues affect the activism and awareness among Toronto youth?
I mean, I think it's pretty, like, immediate. I think we're very quick to organize and act, and youth are often like a very large and important part of activism and awareness across the city. Obviously I live my life as a youth, and so like my social media, my community is also pretty much youth dominated, but I feel like young people are often leading these displays, and they're also kind of just like representing a large part of like resistance and education in the city. I get a lot of information from my peers and feel comfortable talking with them and feel comfortable starting initiatives with them. So I think that there's very rarely ever a social or environmental issue that isn't commented on in the city. And I think that that's like due to a large part of just like youth activism.
Sounds lovely to hear, especially how you mentioned how you have people in your inner circle who are willing to join those initiatives with you and give you support. Like, that's quite admirable for sure.
Yeah, I think when it directly impacts the lives of those people in their communities or themselves, it makes it much easier for young people, even like myself, and we're more likely to engage in these local advocacy efforts. Even like the rental crisis that we're having in Toronto, I know a lot of people, maybe not younger, but are definitely participating in things around the GTA, and even things outside of Toronto. The whole Israeli-Palestine conflict that has been something that's been arrived in Toronto as well. So I think it's very impactful that we're even doing things like that in Toronto, and it definitely shows that young people are definitely interested in and care.
I think that's kind of like a big the point, quote unquote, are related to our work and, you know, the enterprise that we're working with, because young people, I, in my personal opinion, as a young person, we are so passionate and involved in things that we believe are right, or our needs or our rights or necessary, and things like rent and affordability and accessibility are so important. And that's something that I discovered moving here in Canada, how the youth population is just so invested. And I find it's absolutely great. And it's good to hear that young people are, you know, doing things in Toronto for what they believe is right and needed and will affect them. I think that's really great.
And now for our music break. Break from Toronto by Party Next Door.
I feel like in the nighttime. Watch what she do when the light shine. Drunk niggas tryna talk in a strip club. Shorty silhouette look like a dollar sign. Caught up. That's just how a nigga brought up. Blown ones for your loony ass niggas. Straight bells for your toony ass niggas. My niggas bigger than the bounce. Roll up in the bitch, still smell like a ounce. Right quick, tight jeans on so she feel my shit. Tell me something good, baby. Tell me something good, shawty. Come and bring it to the hood, baby. Bring him back to the hood, shawty. This what saga feel like in the nighttime. Bust it up and shorty when the light shine. Still fucking with the same ass, nigga. I know you wanna pray. I know you wanna pray from Toronto. Oh.
Next thing I'm curious about, especially after the recent pandemic, there has been an increased role of technology and social media in the lives of young people. So in your opinions, how has technology and social media affected Toronto's youth dynamics?
I think social media platforms have played a crucial role in helping Toronto's youth stay more connected, especially during the times of like physical distancing and the pandemic. And online communities and groups have provided more like space for young individuals to share their experiences, I think discuss more common concerns that are happening, and just build more supportive networks. Technology and social media have been powerful tools for youth activism. It's kind of what we just mentioned with like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and platforms like Twitter, Instagram, TikTok to kind of help boost and enable young activists to raise more awareness, organize these events, and mobilize support for social and environmental causes. I would say, like, their ability to rapidly decimate, like, disinformation definitely contributes to the amplification for youth voices in doing so. And even within the Urban Work Index, for run by Youthful Cities, Toronto also ranked number one with digital access. So it definitely shows that technology has become an essential aspect of skill development here in Toronto, from coding to digital design to social media marketing. Young people are definitely acquiring these digital skills, and it's showing, it's definitely showing today's job market.
It's quite refreshing to hear that compared to the other cities, it seems like Toronto has a more optimistic perspective on the role of technology. So thank you for bringing a positive spin on this for sure. And also, on a similar note, what are the challenges and opportunities for creative expression within Toronto's youth culture?
I mean, I think even like, and sorry to bring the mood down, but with technology.
That's okay.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I think technology has, like, in a way dominated the way that we connect and communicate with each other. So it's almost like you have to be, like, super savvy with all of it in order to kind of break into, any kind of space really in Toronto. And like Oki mentioned, like, Toronto's definitely leading in terms of access. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone has, like, the correct, like, training or understanding. And I feel like we've started to see and, like, feel that with the impact of, like, remote high school and university and even, like, remote work and just, like, adjusting to the way that we interact with the world and each other through technology. So, like, I'm personally noticing that, like one of the challenges for creative expression is definitely just like, yeah, having access and like a thorough understanding of these tools in order to kind of like seem desirable. But at the same time, what I am seeing is kind of like almost like a sort of like rejection of technology. And I think that's really cool to see like people being able to be creative and express their creativity in ways that aren't just restricted to like social media and technology.
Wonderful. So we're getting a balanced perspective of the technology in Toronto with Oki giving the main advantages while Renee mentioning that it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
And it's also a question of, accessing technology and affording technology as well.
Oh, yes, for sure. I think Renee mentioned not just accessing the technology, but also accessing the skills and competencies to use it effectively, which hopefully Youthful Cities in the future, in our future projects, puts policies in place to make the learning more accessible. So y'all can keep your eye out for that.
Yeah, and Emil, I actually want to mention if it comes to challenges, like creative scene can contribute to mental health challenges among young individuals. And balancing creative pursuits with societal expectations and personal well-being is an ongoing concern that I think is going on with young people, and maybe in Toronto as well. Not just in Toronto, but all over the globe. But I definitely think it's something to look at.
Oh, yeah, because there's always the... continue.
No, yeah, I want to, like, highlight bold exclamation mark that point because, like, I don't know, especially in Toronto, you kind of feel like you need to have, like, everything right and, like, set in place in order for you to then pursue those, like, creative endeavors. And I don't know, maybe that's just, like, the experience of, like, growing up with immigrant parents, but, like, I'm not about to explore any creative endeavor until I have, like, a place to live. Like, I've got, like, basic education. You've got like some kind of income that's going to be stable. And while that's like all great, it is like very, very stressful to make sure that you have all those things lined up. And as a young person where you're already kind of just like not starting off like on the greatest note. I don't know, Oki, like that definitely resonates a lot.
Yeah. And the fact that we're already in like such a big fast-paced city in a way, our lives, our Twitch, we kind of feel like we need to move fast. And I kind of get that sense just talking to a lot of people my age. Like, we all just kind of want to get there really quickly. And it could be very, very mentally draining in a way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the continuous pressure of the keeping up with the Joneses while still wanting to practice our passions and express our creativity. It's like, it is quite challenging.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the right move in order to manage those two is the slowing down a bit. But then, as Oki mentioned, like everyone is encouraged to speed up and don't look back and, you know, try to keep up.
I do have, like, I feel like living in Montreal, I have that feeling as well. And again, I don't know if it's because I just come from a different background or I have a different position in this country, city, but I think it is important that we take the time to sit down and just relax and just, you know, acknowledge that we're youth, we're most of us are in our mid-20s, like, it's okay, you know, it's fine, as long as, like, we have, like, a roof and we're able to eat and we're fine. But I think, personally, coming from a place that is not at all similar to, like, the Western cultures, I think it's just, that's the impact of Westernization and Western ways of doing things. And I've only been here for 7 years, but it feels like it has made its way deep down in my brain that now I'm like, I must achieve, I must reach levels that if I stayed back home would not be anywhere near. Yeah, that's my own personal take on it.
It is kind of strange too, especially because a lot of us are in our mid to early 20s, which means hypothetically we should have 40 more years to make it or achieve until we retire. But then all of a sudden social media makes us think that we need to do all those things early and maybe even retire early.
Well, that also comes with, you know, what Patrice was saying with Vancouver, with all these influencers, and it's like, oh, I need to leave that type of life. I need to go to fancy restaurants and be able to afford all of those nice things. But it's like, you're like 25. Sit down and try to figure out what you actually want to do rather than trying to make it where you don't really know where and what you want to make it, you know?
I think there's a pool of people that may think that way, and then there's also a pool of people who are just trying to, like, get the basic needs and, like, just, you know, survive. You know, even just the middle class is no longer really the middle class anymore, and I feel that being a societal pressure, that kind of being a challenge, makes it hard for you to endeavor into those passions that you may have, those creativity lanes that you may want to pursue. It kind of makes it almost like not worth doing that when you have to focus on, you know, the basic needs like groceries and rent and so forth. So I think those are kind of also things to put into perspective, because they're definitely different people. That some people just kind of want to, you know, live that lavish lifestyle, and then there's others who they just want to survive, and they can't even do the extra stuff.
Yeah. That makes me think of a meme that I saw a couple of days back that was like, I've been working for like 7 years to get out of, like, to get into the middle class, and now there's inflation and I'm back not into the lower middle class, and it's just like a slap in the face constantly. Just trying to,
Yeah, that's where the cost of living is outpacing the wages. And then, so then people are losing their purchasing power. And when what might have been a good salary 5 years ago, maybe it's just considered just getting by, as you mentioned.
And I read somewhere that if you don't actually get a 10 to 12% raise promotion every year or every 2 years, you're position is actually robbing you from the current inflation that is going up. So a lot of people are thinking, okay, well, every 2 years I need to go find out the job to get back onto the proper, you know, salary where I can live, not just trying to make it, but live comfortably, or just follow the inflation if I'm already just trying to make it, to keep trying to make it.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into the that trend on social media that I've seen, like job hopping. And I actually, when even doing some of the interviews, the street interviews, I spoke to someone who I believe was a recruiter, and I asked her about the red flags and looking at resumes and such. And one of those things were like seeing you at seeing you at one position for not too long, and kind of like the job hopping. And she was older, so I really interested to see if that's like something that older people are, it's kind of a red flag for them, and then for us that's like something that we want to do. It's really like not really going together, it's not connecting, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's just how like the vision of working and career making just changed completely with the generations, but you know, the people who are hiring are still from those previous generations where they still see it in the old fashioned way.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right. To round us off, I want to hear each of your opinions on what changes you would like to see Toronto to improve for the youth demographic in the future.
Oh, man, like what to choose. No, go ahead.
So I think like from this conversation, we can definitely say that Toronto does have a lot of unique and like attractive characteristics for youth, but like with that comes a lot of really big challenges, especially with like so many people being in the city, and then like kind of like overall theme of like competitiveness. So like something that I would really like to see is the city putting more emphasis on like actually developing solutions that like tackle really big issues. I think a lot of the times we're kind of given like these, they almost like breadcrumb us with like issues and like with solutions for things. Like it's like we would want something to be like, I don't know, like for the city to actually do something about like a big issue like affordability, whereas they would probably offer us like another solution where it's like, oh, we'll invest more into like educational programs so that it's like more accessible to school, but it's like it doesn't really matter if people are more educated, because if they're not going to be able to get enough money, they're not going to be able to afford anything, right? So something that is a little bit more aligned with like the bigger issues would be really beneficial, because I feel like it's a shame that like despite all the great things that the city has, like it still seems really unsustainable or even like unattainable for people to actually survive. So I'd really like to see that. From there also, on like the youth side of things, I think like having a really like real and like greater presence of youth in actual like policy decisions would be super impactful, especially in our local government. I know we have things like the Toronto Youth Cabinet within like the city, and like they're supposed to kind of be that voice, but I feel like youth are often just a voice. They're not really included in the decisions, and like a lot of the perspectives that they have are based off of data that they collect, whereas it's not really like, they don't really have like real involvement from youth within like their actual local government. So I feel like something like that would be amazing. And like that way they can actually initiate like real action, which is championed by like the youth perspective. And then another thing I would say, because honestly I have like a lot, would be to, again, like have access to like more resources for youth in general, but also just people. I would say like mental health resources, again, like for affordable housing and things like that. And like also support for like people's own initiatives and endeavors. I know that like the city is very entrepreneurial in that sense, but at the same time, I feel like sometimes it's difficult for people to shine, given that there's so many people in the city, so many things going on at one time, and like so many different focuses for different topics. So I feel like just having more programs for support, especially for like more marginalized populations within the city, would be like amazing. And I think that would also help with youth and pursuing their passions and like being more successful in that field as well. But yeah, I think those are some of the major ones. I'm sure there's more, so I'll let Renee and Oki speak to that.
Thank you. Renee or Oki, who wants to go first?
Yes. I'm going to choose one, and it's probably one that like every city is commenting on, but I think it's actually I'm between like housing and transit. And I know it's like annoying because everyone talks about it, and like there's the perspective of just like the right to housing. But for me, it's more than housing. It's also just like access to opportunity and access to people and and like access to culture and everything that we've generally just been talking about today, like being close to the center of the city is such a reward, and it's such a benefit to your life. Again, like I grew up in the suburbs, like my average commute to the downtown core is like an hour, 2 hours both ways if the transit isn't funky. And also just in that time of transit, like so many things can happen that can just like switch your mood. And then I moved downtown for university, and being able to walk to an event or like get to a park quickly to meet people, or at least just like getting home safely at the end of an occasion, like those are small things that just like really encourage you and like allow you the space to get involved in the spaces that you want to. And it's really sad just like knowing that like that is literally just from proximity to like where the hub is. But it can truly change your life. And so, yeah, I think whether it's just like more affordable and like reasonable housing for people in the downtown core so that we can all have equal access to these spaces and just like opportunity, or even if it's just better transit so that, yeah, like it's not a 2 hour journey to get to something that could like potentially change your life. And that transit's not a barrier, or like just like not living close is not a barrier. Because yeah, like, I don't know, my lived experience, like as a young person in the city, completely drastically different, living close to versus like far away from it. And so, yeah, like, again, everyone does have the right to housing, but I think, my wish for improvement is housing or transit, more for just like a access to opportunity perspective.
Good points, because we were talking about earlier, Lee's the nice events for benefiting from the diversity. But if it's exclusive because so many people either they have to travel an hour just to see in every day or whatever, like it would be helpful if more people can be in on the action and on these events. Okay.
Yeah, I think those two are so like, I think that's on every person's mind right now if you live in Toronto, and that would be like transportation and affordability. And I second that, because I think that's something that we are struggling as a city in. Transportation in the sense that our subway lines haven't really changed our infrastructure of transportation in years, and it's actually been the same for so long. However, yes, we've been kind of moving the ball and like making it more accessible in a way. And there's a lot more construction going on in the city of Toronto. We are definitely lacking for the amount of people we have in the city. Even all of us kind of talking about how connected each area of Toronto is. And then even the cities outside of Toronto, because a lot of people do commute to the downtown core away from the GTA. I think that it needs to be a lot more accessible. It needs to be a lot more connected, and just like, I don't know, I think the system needs to be, and it needs to flow a lot better than it is now. And that's something that could definitely be tackled and worked on. And then affordability and the housing crisis is that another one that I would wish that we can work on in Toronto. Just things like some simple measures that I feel like should already be in place, like rent control. For example, I don't really see why that was taken away. I think that was like around 2018. And like even hearing some stories, I think last year in 2023, where there were two sisters who their rent had went up to like $3,500, and they didn't like that that was their new rent, and they complained about that. And then the landlord just decided, because there's no rent control, that, you know what, the rent's going to go to $9,500 so that they can just leave. And I think that's like ridiculous. The fact that you can do that legally doesn't make sense to me. And there should definitely be some type of measures to ensure that people have a place to stay, ensure that people have affordable housing. And, you know, moving, like living somewhere and then having to move is not fun. You know, like me speaking from someone who's moved like four times in my life, all in the same, like all in a tropical area. It's not something that's fun. And especially if you're pretty young, it does cost money to just move out. You know, it's not as easy as just getting a new place. So I just think those are some simple things that should be in place. And then around affordability, we spoke about, you know, the middle class not really being the middle class anymore. This would be more of like a federal responsibility, but and there are definitely people who wouldn't agree to this, but I definitely think it could be, it could work in a way for all of Canada, actually, and that being a universal basic income, that kind of just lifts people up from poverty and close to, and a little bit out of the middle class as well. And that's something that I hope that we can look into for the next election for Canada, and then for Toronto specifically. That would definitely help a lot of young people when it comes to affordable housing. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. My blood was boiling when you said, I forgot the word, basic income. Yes. Absolutely. Do you guys know if in Toronto there are housing cooperatives?
Do you mean like community housing?
No. I mean, like, because in Montreal we have a bunch of those. That's where I live, and that's why I have an affordable rent. It's it's like a co-op, and they kind of build housing, and then you just, you know, all the renters part of the co-op kind of own the building, but also just rent it just to pay. So there's no landlord, and so it's very regulated, the rent, and it's very low because it's not for profit.
Cool. Yeah, we do. A few, but like the ones that aren't new, or I guess like the ones that have been around for longer, like the wait lists are insane. Like I think every single co-op in Toronto has a wait list at the moment, and for the most part the people that live there are like outside of the like youth age range, so like I know that like I will probably never live in a co-op. And then the newer ones like are kind of just like struggling to like advocate for themselves, so it's also clearly just hard for them to like be in the process of creation in the city as well.
Yeah, essentially they're not, those people that live in those co-op buildings, they're not moving out anytime soon. So that wait list is going to be extensively long. So, yeah.
Yeah, would you know why it's harder for them to advocate for themselves, like the co-ops? Like, well, is there restrictions
Yeah, like it's really hard to convince a group of people that this is like a better model for housing when we've been so deeply rooted in like whatever traditional system exists. But it's also, yeah, it's really like difficult to buy out a landlord that's been like owning several properties for like the last decade. It's just I think it's just the like upfront cost and work. It's just a lot to manage as like one person.
Mm-hmm. There's just so many ways that we can have different type of housing. I met a couple from South Korea a couple months ago who were explaining to us how like renting situation there is completely different, meaning that like if they were to go and rent an apartment, they would basically pay a fixed amount that's like kind of like a down payment amount, and then the owner would keep that money, and then by the end of year when they move out they will get all of that money back. And so the idea is that you kind of like invest in your landlord, so you kind of like pay a fixed amount for the whole year so you don't pay every month, and then that landlord can do whatever they want to do with that money, if they want to buy more property or invest in whatsoever. But when you move out they have to give you that entire amount of money you paid back. And that completely blew my mind. I mean, first of all, it means you need to have a certain amount of money to be able to rent. But also, it's kind of like you're not renting because you're just giving your money, but then you get it back. So if you want to get your own property, you know, at some point you can, kind of. If that makes any sense. It's so confusing. But I was South Korea. Hell yeah.
Where was that?
What?
Like where was that? You said it was your friend.
It was in South Korea.
Okay.
Yeah, they were from South Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's almost interesting in a way because it's like instead of like paying the monthly rent, it's almost like you're giving the landlord a loan, and then as you said, it means they need to have a big sum of money to start with, which With I know for a lot of, for quite a few people, they would benefit for, that would have been, but it does require like the proper discipline with the saving and whatnot.
Yeah.
Before we move on.
But I find it's interesting because you basically don't spend really any money because you get all of it back. You know, it's kind of like you're just putting in a savings account at the bank and then you get your money back when you move out without interest. But yeah.
I kind of think it might kind of reflect the whole collectivist mentality that people in those countries preach and try to teach. Because as you, even though the people are getting the big sum of money from the get-go, they almost feel a responsibility to like not waste that money because they know they'll have to give it back to the other person soon.
Yeah, I think another thing that's really interesting about that is the security aspect, like not having to worry about making payments or like your landlord being like, okay, this month's going to be like 10% more than last month because they raised the rent or something. I feel like that's also really cool because like, let's say something did happen, your income was affected, you don't really have to necessarily be like, okay, I might actually be homeless next month, you know? You actually have that there in place and you can actually feel like your place is stable and like almost like a home sense. So that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can just chill out for a whole year and not worry about nothing. Mm-hmm. You know? How am I going to pay next month? Oh, I already paid it. Ooh,
yeah, for sure.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the questions we have for everyone today. Appreciate you all joining us and hope you enjoy your weekend. All the best.
Thanks, Amel. Yeah,
thanks, thanks, everyone. I'm just going to stop the recording. You guys don't have to leave because we have more recording to do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So now we're going to listen to a song called Cheap Shot by Seago.
Late in July, so the strap's coming out. Gotta watch where you hang, cause they're on something else. When it rings, doesn't mean that you should horse around. Back legs gonna buck, keep them close to the ground. Need a spare set of eyes just to watch my back. You speak behind it and my face gets slapped. It was a cheap shot. Must be feeling like a big shot. Hit me, it was a cheap shot. Feel the shame because I got.
Cheap Shot by Seago.
Welcome back. We just heard some music, and before that, a really great interview with our Toronto team.
Yeah.
I'm here again with Charlie.
Hi.
And Emil.
Yep.
And my name is Mariam. I'm the city manager for Montreal.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another show. We don't know what the theme of that show will be, but something about youthful and cities.
are you sure?
Let me just improvise here. Yeah. And our survey is still open for a few weeks. I think
it's exactly
2 weeks.
Yeah.
January 21st or 6th. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right before our Vancouver summit. Anything to add?
Well, actually our next episode, we will be in Vancouver.
Oh my gosh. So it's going to be a summit episode. Okay. I guess we have a plan.
Yes, that's exciting.
On Monday, 29th.
Ooh.
Which is in 2 weeks.
That's very exciting, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we won't be in Vancouver, actually. Because we leave the 29th. What's 2 weeks from the 8th?
So let me check that. The 22nd. Oh, I am bad with math. My apologies.
Okay. So I think after next.
Yeah, so the one after. Yeah.
Will be our Vancouver special. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So on the 22nd, we will be stressed. but guess what? We're stressed.
Oh.
We'll be present.
Hey.
Either way, thank you for listening. This has been What's Up With Work Lately, broadcasting from CKUT. I'm Mariam, Charlie, Emil, Renee, Oki, and Katisha joined us on the airwaves this week. We're so excited to where we go next. Thank you so much. Playing us out is All Night by The Free Label.
It's like a holiday, and we treat the shit like holidays, girl. Two shots and I'll be on my way, heading to your place, cause we're getting late tonight. Then my phone starts blowing up, and these people start showing up. Well, then my doorbell's ringing, 200 people coming in, dancing and singing. We're riding, we're drinking, we're smoking, and we don't give a fuck. And we be keeping it up, cause we're riding, we're drinking, we're smoking, and we don't give a fuck, we elated, sedated, cross-faded, and we be keeping it up all night. All these parties be bumping and all these ladies attractive. I can't lie, a little gone off that juice. And the green that I'm smoking just makes it harder to choose. But we gon' stay all night taking shots in the moonlight. Tomato tequila dancing like we got spotlights on us. Oh, then we take shots of Patron. And the Henny coming after cause we stay in the zone. See these four locals got me looking dazed in the maze. Going damn near insane. The amount of booty shaking baffles my brain. So I'ma roll up a split. Ain't got no reason to leave. Ain't gon' stop taking shots cause all my niggas they be dancing. We're riding, we're drinking, we're smoking, and we don't give a fuck. We're elated, sedated, crossfaded, and we be keeping it up because we're riding, we're drinking, we're smoking, and we don't give a fuck. We're elated, sedated, crossfaded, and we be keeping it up. Elated, sedated, cross-faded, and we be keeping it up cause we're riding, we're drinking, we're smoking, and we don't give a fuck. We elated, sedated, cross-faded, and we be keeping it up cause we're riding, we're drinking, we're smoking, and we don't give a fuck. We elated, sedated, cross-faded, and we be keeping it up cause we're riding. We don't give a fuck, we elated, sedated, cross-faded, and we be keeping it up all night.
Boy, you're so nice.
You can say that all you want. I ain't never gonna stop you from saying that.
The FM band is from 88 megahertz up to 108.
You've got this frequency. We're gonna call you CKUP. You've got this frequency, 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Very impressive.
You can sit on the moon and it looks like they pick up CKUP, clear as a bell.
Fascinating. Your analysis seems logical.
CKUP is on the air.
CKUP, yeah. Hey, yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, and you listening to C. Hey, yo, check 1-2. This is Flavor, Flavor, Public Enemy. You listening to K? Yo, check 1-2. This is Flavor, Flavor, Public Enemy. You listening to CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP?
Yeah, perfect, man. Thanks a lot, man. Keep doing that. Real heads, keep listening.
This is Tony from Planet Giza, and you're listening to CKUT Montreal Community Radio. This the crib right here, so shout outs to every station on here, and shout outs to you, the listener. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Conversation Lab. I'm Don Schaefer.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Where we once sang sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us, in response to being taunted and insulted, this idiom, like so many other childhood memories, turned out to be untrue. The words we use have taken a deeper significance, and they can be extremely hurtful and painful. Sticks and Stones, Roots and Bones is the name of this podcast series, and it's part of my dissertation project as we explore the science, psychology, cultural, and emotional components of these conversational ecosystems and what they have in common to gain insight and improve on existing knowledge of how we engage with each other, whether about climate, race, gender, culture, politics, or social justice issues. I hope you'll join us. In this episode, we're joined by Vanessa Feloy, who's one of three co-founders of the Held Collective. I'm thrilled that we can talk about their work and what they do, and hopefully dig into some of my dissertation questions about polarization and how to navigate difficult conversations. The Held Collective is a partnership of facilitators, culture creators, and practitioners building a world liberated from oppressive systems, dynamics, and relationships. The three founders are Vanessa Feloy, Alexander Lyons, and Priya Ghai. So to get started, do you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Vanessa, Vanessa Feloy, and I use the pronouns she and her. And who am I in the world? I am